This week on Grape Encounters Radio.
He issued me fines of $130,000.
Right
there in this box.
And you just look at that and what?
In shock. Break. I've got cancer, which I do. I've had five surgeries since 2010.
All right. Okay, stop there. On top of everything else, you've been battling cancer for 5 years.
5 years, yes.
And now, transmitting our signal to wine lovers of the world from our Atascadero Wine Cellar Studio in the heart of the Central Coast wine country of San Luis Obispo County, California. We bring you Grape Encounters with David Wilson.
Peel me a grape, crush me some ice, skin me a peach, save the fuzz for my pillow.
You know, if you are a longtime Grape Encounters listener, that this is a fun-loving show. We get into the fun topics, and we stay away from pretentiousness, and we don't get political. Except today, I'm going to change all of that, because there is a story that has got me so hopping mad, and I take it very personally, and I think anybody that's listening to this show needs to listen very carefully to this story, because the implications that it has for the wine business are very, very far-reaching. It's an absolute tragedy, and it underscores how ridiculous some of the laws in this country are. It's all about a very small winery, just a family-run winery in Castro Valley, California, known as Westover Winery. It's run by Bill Smythe and his wife, and I have Bill on now. And Bill, I don't think I can even explain what's going on, because it sounds like something out of a pure fiction novel. It's the kind of thing that you don't think can happen, but really does. You're sitting there teetering on the verge of having to close down your winery. Why?
Well, we are actually going to close down our winery.
No.
We're actually selling out our inventory. Yes, unfortunately.
Oh.
We've been in business for about 28 years. My great-great-aunt, by the way, was the first woman winemaker in California, and she started her winery in 1881.
In 1881?
Yeah, the winery today is called Freemark Abbey, but in 1881, mm-hmm. my great-great-aunt, it was called Tixon Vineyards.
No kidding. So your great-great-grandmother started
what became Freemark Abbey, and there's still vineyards there called Tixon Vineyards in Napa, St. Helena area.
Wow. Okay. So people are wondering what the story is all about and why David Wilson is so hopping mad. And believe me, this is not a put-on. I take this very personally. If you ever get hopped up about anything, you should about this, because it affects every last one of us. And we'll explain why in just a moment. But explain what's happened to you and why you're being forced to shut your doors.
Okay. Well, again, we're just a very small winery. We're in Castro Valley in Alameda County.
In California.
Right. Our vineyard itself is only about an acre.
An acre.
We buy grapes from all over, including a lot of grapes from Paso Robles throughout the Livermore area where we are, and grapes from Madeira, and grapes also from Lodi. And we bring them in here and process them. But we're a very small winery. Gross sales are only about $200,000 a year. We net about $11,000 a year in profit. And
Wait a second. Hold it. $11,000.
That's it. We are very small. We sell to no stores and we sell to no restaurants.
So you
everything goes over the small little family tasting room, which is operated out of our house.
Wine club?
We have a wine club of about 900 members, so that's a big part of it.
All right. So now take us to this incident that happened, and why don't you just explain the day it happened and how it happened, because that alone is more like something out of a gangster movie than anything else.
It was in middle July. And it was right before I was going on a trip to Portugal to study ports. And we had a couple customers that happened to want to go tasting that day. But we were closed. It's on the weekday. We're a real small winery. We are only open 10 hours a week. We are only open from 12 to 5 on Saturday and Sunday.
Okay.
So these two customers come by, and they know me. So they decide, they see me making some port out in our winery. They open the gate, and they just so happen to leave the gate open. And they came in. I told them I was bottling some port and for them to wait a little bit. And all of a sudden, a white car drives in. And these two women jump out of the car. They say they're from the labor board. And right away, they jump out with cameras and run over to the customers and start snapping their pictures. One of the customers holds his hands up and says, "Wait a minute, I'm a customer. What are you doing?" The other guy pulls out his ID, and he's a police officer. And he's one of our customers and also one of my friends. And he says, "Wait, you know, I'm a retired policeman. And what are you doing?" You know, asking for my ID and asking, you know, "What are you doing?" And they said, give us ID. We don't care if you're a policeman.
Were they suspects of some sort?
No, not at all.
Why would they have any reason to interrogate your customers.
They had no reason whatsoever, and in fact, they even denied later on that they even had any contact with customers at all, and they did. And they had their cameras out and everything. And I called the customers later on just to confirm, did they indeed have contact? Because I saw them talking to you. I saw them showing your ID. I saw one of you holding your hands up and saying, I'm just a customer. And no, they confirmed it, that they were just customers. And the worst thing about it is they left without buying any wine.
You're talking about the customers.
Of course, yes.
Not the people from the labor board.
No. And then the labor board, they say, we're here because we hear you had volunteers a whole whopping 10 hours a week. I'm sarcastic on that one, by the way, but they said that they heard that we had volunteers 10 hours a week. And
in which you would go, big whoopee, so what, right?
Right, and that's what I said. I said, well, what's wrong with that? And they go, well, it's against the law. And I go, well, actually, I don't even handle it. I have a consultant who handles other wineries, handles volunteers, by the way, at other wineries as well. And I said, I'm not even the person that handles them. And just going back a little bit, by the way, the reason why I even had volunteers is because years ago I taught a free course at an adult school on wine tasting and winemaking and all that. And somebody after the end of the course said, wow, you're so good. Why can't we continue this at your winery? And one of the students at that time became the person who handled it and signed up a bunch of volunteers to come in and just learn about wine and talk to customers, occasionally sell wine.
Of course.
So anyway, these two investigators, very obnoxiously, by the way, said, we don't care if somebody else handles it. If you don't give us what we want right now and tell us everything or do whatever, then we're going to get subpoenas and they're going to do this or do that. And then they showed their badges like they're going to arrest me.
So what, they wanted a bottle of port? Is that what they wanted?
The investigators? Yeah, I wish. That would be nice.
We want a bottle of port right now. One each.
I know. But I mean, they were aggressive and, you know, it didn't matter if I wasn't the one that handled any volunteers at all. All I do is teach. And I own the winery. We're talking about 10 hours a week that we're open.
We're talking to Bill Smythe. He is the owner of a small winery. They have 1 acre of grapes there. It's a Westover Winery in the Castro Valley of California. And this has implications for every winery in America, believe me, and other businesses as well. We're in the middle of Bill's story, and he has a couple of customers show up. And then this white car pulls up. Two women step out who are very threatening. The customers take off running, basically, and now these people are threatening you. And what is it that they wanted?
They wanted our schedules for any volunteers. They wanted names of any volunteers, phone numbers of any volunteers. They even asked to see my tax returns for whatever stupid reason that was. Later on, my attorney says that that's a privileged document and they shouldn't even have asked for it. And
so this is like a raid, right?
It was unbelievable. I mean, keep in mind, we're 200,000 sales a year, 11,000 gross profits, open only 10 hours a week. We don't sell to any stores or restaurants. I mean, my wife and I could handle this whole thing by ourselves.
So let's understand what's going on here. They are coming down on you because you have volunteers who are helping in the winery. And this is where I got to be very clear. Almost every winery that I know has volunteers come out. People beg to go out in the vineyards and pick grapes. People beg to be part of the crush process. It's how you learn. People have a passion for volunteering at a winery. This is going on every place. And you're one of the smallest wineries on planet Earth, and they come down on you. Why not bigger places?
Absolutely.
Why did they do? But we never hear about it.
Oh, well, I'll tell you that, but let me first of all tell you, they're going after big wineries. They're going after small wineries. My attorney told me when she talked to them, they said they just busted a winery in Napa for $2 million. So we're not talking about just small wineries. We're talking about everybody. What led up to this was a disgruntled person who sought revenge, who was not a volunteer at the time of the disgruntlement, and they found one way to get revenge. And, you know, the problem with it is that every small business in the United States, every small winery, because they're the most vulnerable, has to be looking over their back at every moment, because anybody at all, whether they're volunteer or not, that knows that you use volunteers because you're a small winery, if they get angry at you for any reason whatsoever, all they have to do is go to the labor department and say, oh, XYZ uses volunteers, and bam, you're busted, and you're out of business. And we're talking super heavy-duty penalties.
Okay.
To give you an idea also, one of the wineries in Livermore, or one of their volunteers came over here to my winery to talk to me, said that they had 40 volunteers, a winery not much different size than us, and they had about 40 volunteers. They released all of them in one day after this.
They released all the volunteers. And you know what's scary about your story, and we'll talk about this more, is the story broke literally right in the middle of harvest, and it was in all of the wine trades almost instantly. It's gotten a huge amount of attention. I'm glad we're able to pay attention to it as well, but, you know, we're going to do more than pay attention to it, by the way. Bill, you need a little help, and I'm going to volunteer, except that I'm not going to volunteer at the winery. I'm going to volunteer with a microphone. And we'll talk more about that. We'll talk about your fine, you know, just being a tiny little winery when we return with Grape Encounters Radio. Yeah, we're getting serious today, talking to Bill Smythe, the owner of Castro Valley Winery, Westover Winery, that got raided by the California Labor Board over a law pertaining to using volunteers. And by the way, this isn't just a California law, it's a federal law. And we'll talk about the implications nationwide when we return with Grape Encounters Radio.
Well, David Wilson uncorks the next story. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/grapeencountersradio.
The sweetest wine in the world is the fruit on the vine, the sweetest wine.
Okay, not your typical friendly spirited Grape Encounters Radio today. We're dealing with a very heavy subject today. I'll tell you what, I am so sick of bureaucrats, bureaucracy, and laws that make absolutely no sense. This one I take very personally. I'll tell you why in just a second. We're talking to Bill Smythe. He is the owner, along with his wife, of Westover Winery in the Castro Valley in California. It's a tiny winery. It's a little family-owned operation that's only open 10 hours a week. But they also, like many, many, and I mean to say thousands of wineries in this country, use volunteer labor for some of the tasks, because there are a whole lot of people, myself included, that like to volunteer at wineries, because I'll tell you what, if you have a passion for wine, there is nothing that will help you to understand it better and love it more than to just go out there and do it for the love of the wine. We've got Bill on. Let's talk about the fine. You're only making how many cases of wine per year?
Lucky to have 1,500 cases a year.
I think you said a little while ago, $11,000 profit, which, by the way, you're lucky to make $11,000 net profit, because an awful lot of wineries make no profit at all, even with volunteers, right?
That's correct.
Now they have come, they are asking for all kinds of things from you. At what point do you find out how big the fine is?
Right then and there.
Really?
They issued me fines of $130,000.
Ah!
Right there in the spot.
$130,000. And you just look at that and what?
In shock. I mean, I told them, I said, give me a break. I've got cancer, which I do. I've had five surgeries since 2010.
All right, stop there. On top of everything else, you've been battling cancer for 5 years.
5 years, yes.
Can I ask what kind of cancer?
I have synovial sarcoma. It's a muscle cancer. And it went into my lungs. And I've had three surgeries on my lungs and two on the muscle tissue in my right arm.
Oh, my gosh.
Said they didn't care. They said we feel for you, but we really don't care.
That's almost like an oxymoron. We feel for you, we just don't care. In other
words,
we don't
exactly
feel
right
for you, and we don't care.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, but you know what? This law is horrible. Can you talk a bit about the statute that we're dealing with here? Because it is a federal statute, right? In this country, if somebody works for a business, you're supposed to pay them.
That's correct. But the statute that we're really looking at is Labor Code Section 1720.4. Using volunteers for a profit business is illegal.
Right.
I would like to point out, too, that our government wonderfully has exempted itself and nonprofits. So if you're a nonprofit or you are volunteering for a state agency, it's okay.
Well, what's disgusting about this is that really taking away a huge civil liberty. If I want to go and just do something for the pure pleasure of doing it and it benefits somebody else, you know, what's the big deal? I can go to my next door neighbor's house and help them paint the house, and I can legally do that because they're not a business. But if I want to help somebody that happens to be a business, then they're violating the law and I'm helping them do it.
Absolutely. I think it's just the whole law is ridiculous. There was an article in the Chronicle by Deborah Saunders, and she said, here's a radical idea. How come California just allow adults to make adult decisions, such as if they want to be volunteers? And if they don't want to be, they don't have to be. Boy, what a radical idea.
Completely crazy. What was the basis of the fine? How did they come up with $130,000? I think that fine's been reduced a little bit. How did that happen, by the way?
And they take credit for it, but actually it wasn't them. I mean, we went in there and we found mistakes that they had made. And they've made a lot more mistakes. Some people say, well, why didn't you appeal the whole thing? Well, first of all, when the investigators came here, I said, goodness sakes, is there anything I can do about this? They threatened me and they said, look, you can appeal this, but you will lose. You're not going to win on this one. You're going to, even on the vocational program, of which half the people that we had at the time were going under a formal 2-year vocational winemaking and winery course, which I offered for free, they even dismissed that. And that was a formal program following the formal guidelines of the state. Now, let me add one other thing in. I'd scheduled a trip to go to Porto to study ports. I had to sign everything over to somebody and sign power of attorney because I was not going to not go on my trip. It had been prepaid and all that.
Yeah.
Earliest time we could even get to meet with the labor board was 2 days before the last chance to appeal the fines. Most of the fines, except for liquidated damages, which we did later appeal. But the majority of the fines and fees and everything they charged us, they held us off until 2 days before just to go over everything. And then we did get them to drop off a little bit because they'd made so many mistakes.
The amazing thing about this story is those fines are going into the government's coffers. They're not taking that money, are they? Dividing it up, giving it to the volunteers, right?
Well, okay, $30,000 of that money went to the volunteers.
Oh, okay.
Now you have to keep in mind that the volunteers I had were my friends that I've known for years and years, some up to 20 years. So anyway, when we paid the volunteers the money, their back money for 3 years, then about half of them wanted to return it and tried to return it. And then I was told that's against the law. So some of the people said, well, fine, then we just won't cash the check. And then we find out the state says, well, if they don't cash the check, then we want the money. You're going to have to give it to us.
Oh, my gosh.
So then the volunteers went and they said, fine, if we can't return the money, we can't not cash the check, and we don't want the state to get the money, then we're just going to go buy wine, and that's what they did. That's how loyal these people are.
Well, of course.
The people are extremely loyal. They thought it was outrageous what the state was doing. They didn't want the money. They were here for fun. In fact, one of them, interview recently, says, I should be paying you for all the learning that I had and the fun.
Of course. We're going to have on in just a few minutes a good friend of mine who doesn't want to be identified because he's currently volunteering at a number of different wineries right now and doesn't want to get those wineries in trouble. But we'll get his reflections. You've got somebody there, I think, right now that did some volunteer work. Is that somebody we could talk to in a few minutes?
Absolutely.
Okay. We're going to be back with more Grape Encounters Radio talking to Bill Smythe. He and his wife are the owners of Westover Winery, a very small operation in California that's made very big news nationwide because they got slapped by the California Labor Board for using volunteer labor, which is done all over this country. It's almost a privilege to get to work at wineries. It's not the same as going and assembling things on a factory line, but truth is, we're grown adults, and if we want to do that and volunteer it, it should be our business, shouldn't it? Oh, getting very political on today's Grape Encounters Radio. We'll be right back.
Now, back to Grape Encounters with David Wilson.
Just got time for my mind. I just got time for my mind.
I cannot tell you how many people have asked to be able to come into the studio here at Grape Encounters Radio and just assist so that they can learn the radio business. I can't do it in the state of California, and I think pretty much throughout the entire country, you cannot have somebody do work for you and not pay them unless it's some form of internship program. And then there are all kinds of rules where that's concerned. We've been talking today to Bill Smythe. He and his wife own Westover Winery in the Castro Valley. They've made a whole lot of news. Bill, you've had stories run all over the place, including Wine Spectator, right?
Absolutely. Wine Spectator, San Francisco Chronicle. We've been on ABC TV. We've been on a radio station at number 760 in San Diego. This is a big deal. It's interesting to note that the Department of Industrial Relations, they wrote once that everybody knows about this law. And the fact is, almost nobody knows about this law.
I think that a lot of businesses, you know, are working in your typical business environment, that is to say an office environment, you know, have certain understandings of when you could have interns and when you can't and what's required of that. But it just seems like the wine industry is a whole different story. It's such a different industry. It's a very low profit industry. And there's a certain amount of romance that goes along with making wine, you know, doesn't apply to most other businesses. And it's one of those things where people just want to do it for the love of doing it, because it's really a thrill to be involved in the winemaking process, to be involved in the picking, to be involved in the crush, to be involved in the bottling. Once you understand winemaking, you love wine even more, right?
Absolutely. And all these people that were here, they were not doing it because they're trying to make money. They were doing it for the love of the grape, the love of the wine. These were middle-aged people. Almost every one of my either was working now or they are retired and they just want to have some fun. We had people from AT&T, people from Lawrence Livermore Lab. We had a school teacher from Hayward, a lot of retired people, just to have fun and learn.
Yeah, and you know, the real dichotomy here is that you were to look at the entire agriculture industry. I mean, there's no question that probably the lion's share of people who are working out in the fields are undocumented workers. True or false?
That's actually true. And what's amazing to me is when we did start paying people, a few people that were left because we're closing down, and they have to fill out papers, and I'm not even allowed to hire an undocumented worker.
Right.
Yet I see Steinberg in Sacramento talking about how important, and they are important, undocumented workers.
Yeah, sure.
But talking about how we should pay for their schools and we should pay for this and that. When I had to fill all the paperwork, I'm not even allowed to hire one. And I don't hire them anyway, but it's interesting.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to be political about that, because I don't know that crops would get picked if we didn't hire undocumented workers. It's one of those laws where the government turns a blind eye toward that particular issue, and they have, you know, decades and decades. Yet they want to put the hammer down on small family wineries, and now I guess you say big wineries as well, that are getting hit with very big fines. It just seems wrong. The whole thing boils down to this, that in this country, you should have the privilege as an adult, do whatever you want to do, volunteer wherever you want to volunteer. And then if, you know, the government wants to put a value on that volunteer labor and say, well, you got, you know, X number of value out of it and tax you for it. Well, okay, I could go along with that. That'd be all right. But, you know, the idea that they just come into the smallest of small operations and slap you with a fine that puts you out of business is ridiculous. That doesn't do anybody any good.
None at all. And there was no warning. Well, in fact, when I first called up Assemblyman Bob Witkowski, who's going to be meeting with them at the end of the month to talk to the Department of Industrial Relations about this whole thing, I called him up and I knew him from different events we've been to. And I said, Bob, I said, you'll never believe what happened. I said, they just came in here and hit me for having volunteers. They slapped me with $130,000 in fines. Assemblyman Witkowski, Bob Witkowski, he said, geez, Bill, that's amazing. He says, I'm an attorney and an assemblyman of the state of California, and I didn't even know about the law. Second thing he said was, government should not be in the business to put business out of business. And the third thing he said was, why couldn't they have just given you a cease and desist order, get you going legal, and let you go on? It makes very much sense of what he says.
Is there a legal way to use volunteer labor? What could you do beyond the up and up?
The only thing that you could possibly do if you're an independent, if you're a business and you're not government, you're a nonprofit, is to set up some kind of an internship program. But most of the internship program don't meet the criteria. There's 5 criteria for having an internship.
What's the criteria?
You have to put more effort. You're supposed to put more effort into the providing the training than what you get out of it. We had an entire vocational program. We had start and end dates, I think, which is another criteria of it. It has to be set up like a regular formal training program, a professional training program, which it was. Most people that have interns, they don't really fit the true criteria of the internship program.
Somebody's going to draft a turnkey internship package that they can sell to wineries and other businesses that's going to pass muster. Maybe that would get things fixed. But I want to come back to you in just a second. I want to get on the line one of your, I guess I can say, former volunteers, Ken Tatum. He's been retired since, I think you said, 1989, right?
Or go ahead. He'll tell you. And okay. I'll put him on the phone for you.
Okay, really good. All right. He's there now? Okay, good.
Hi.
Hey Ken, it's David Wilson, Grape Encounters Radio. Thanks so much for coming on with me.
Oh, you're very welcome.
So we're trying to get the word out about what has happened to Bill and the winery there. You, I got to say, past tense, you were a volunteer there, right?
I was a volunteer here and had been for a number of years. Yeah, I live in Castro Valley. I retired in 89. I was actually at Trader Joe's looking for some port, and a lady looks at me, and I have no idea who she was, and she said, "What are you looking for?" And I said, "Oh, I was looking for this new port. Have you been in the winery in Castro Valley that makes all the ports?" And I said, "No." And I came out here, and it seems as though I've been here ever since.
So you just came out there, you fell in love with the place?
Absolutely. I liked wine. I liked parts. I didn't know a whole lot about them. We just got talking, and if you're interested, come on out. And I came out, and Bill just taught me so much. It's unbelievable. I mean, he just, any question I had, he would answer it, and I could help out, and gone to events and poured wine at events, and people come up, and you just meet hundreds of people. It's just so nice. I mean, it truly is a lot of fun here.
I'm going to have a very dear friend of mine on the show after you, who also volunteers at a number of different wineries, as a matter of fact. He won't even use his name because we're in the middle of harvest right now, and he wants to continue to volunteer, and he doesn't want to get anybody ratted out. I suppose I'll get slapped with a subpoena and have to...
I know, because it is the middle of crush, and
I dare
with us. I said, you know, with all this going on, I'm going to let the birds eat all the grapes here.
I'm going to volunteer for the rest of harvest. And I tell you what, I want to be cuffed and hauled away. That's come
you
on.
Know, are you ready for this? Sunday, we had a friend of mine come in here, and he was talking to me. He goes, "I'd love to volunteer out here," and I said, "Well, you know, we can't." He goes, "I know." And guess what? He is a police officer. He said, "I'd come out here in a heartbeat." And I'm like, "Oh, I wish you could. I truly wish you could."
Unfortunately, the volunteers are the ones who are not getting in trouble. It's the person who's been lucky enough to have kind people who just want to do it for the love of winemaking, you know, volunteer. Tell me about the other volunteers that you've worked side by side with. What kind of people are we talking about? But more than that, what's the motivation for them mostly to be there?
They want to learn about wine. They love interacting with people. Phil, he's a meteorologist at Lawrence Livermore. Peter is a financial planner. And there's a number of us that are retired. We just come out to have fun. I told him, like, I felt really bad because we didn't get in trouble, but Bill got in trouble, and he had to pay money. And so I said, "So I got you in trouble for that," which I didn't mean to or anything like that. And then he had to pay us. They went back 3 years or something, and they sent us this check for some money, and I said, "No, this is wrong. I don't want this money. I'm giving it back to you." And he says, no, you got to go cash it." So I said, "Okay, I'll cash it." I went to the bank. I cashed it. Then I met him here, and I got him a checkbook, and I wrote him a check. And he says, "Well, I don't know. Let me see." Then found out that it's illegal for him to take the money back. And I said, "So you're telling me that they not only can tell me what I can do with my own free time, they tell me how to spend my money? It's just wrong. It really is wrong for the government to tell me that I can't volunteer here, and I'm just having fun, and I'm learning. I've learned so much here.
Wow.
It's unbelievable."
Wow. And you know, it's amazing. I guess if you wanted to write a check for what now is $110,000 just as a friend to help out your friend, everybody'd be in trouble.
Yes. He actually handed me my check back and said, "I cannot take it because it's illegal." And I was like, "Oh, my goodness." Nobody knew that there was this law against this.
They know now.
Right. But it's not just wineries. Wait till they start coming after other people.
Yeah, you know what? How many dude ranches operate where people... No, seriously, there's like...
You're right.
There's a zillion of them. You know, they got to be shaking in their boots right now, literally. Because, you get people to come help you herd cattle or, you know, bale hay or whatever, you're in trouble too. And, and people are paying a lot of money to work at a dude ranch. I've been to a dude ranch. I want my money back.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. It's
we got to figure out how to fight back. Hey, Ken, I really appreciate you coming on. You have not heard the last from us. Can you put Bill back on so we can say goodbye?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, cool. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for being on. Yeah, Ken Tatum is somebody who had volunteered out at the Westover Winery in Castro Valley that has made huge news because they have volunteers out there working or had volunteers out there working and got slapped with a huge fine by the state of California. And that could happen anywhere in this country because you're not allowed to volunteer. That your government says you cannot volunteer. Anyway, we just got a second left. Bill, I really appreciate you spending so much time with us. This story just infuriates me. And I'll tell you what, if I have to go pick grapes in the middle of the night to volunteer to help my winery friends, then I'm just going to do it. But I won't tell them. I'll just leave a container of grapes out in front of the winery.
Yeah, you might have to do that. I would like to share, though, some things that some of your listeners might do.
Okay, real quick.
Contact Bob Wykowski, who's trying to work for us, Assemblyman Wykowski. His number is 510-577-2310. Assemblyman Quirk, who I'll be meeting with at 11 o'clock on this Friday, 510-583-8818. And lastly, Bob Brunton, who is running for an open seat. It's going to be the 25th District Assembly District. And his number for his candidacy is 510-657-8645. A call to all those people would be good. We appreciate that, plus calling their own local senators and assemblymen.
Oh,
and
yes.
Tell them how outraged they are.
And you know what we should do is we should find out what wines some of these people at the labor board drink. Find out the ones that used volunteer labor. Because they are now an accessory to the crime.
Absolutely.
Okay, I don't know if that's true, but it sounded good. You got to admit. All right, we're going to have something posted on grapeencounters.com. You know what? I'm offended by it. I've talked to so many people who are offended by it. If I want to volunteer because I just love winemaking and I want to be a part of the process, it's my business and stay out of my business. Don't go picking on people who are already having a tough time making a profit. So that's the way that goes. Bill, how's your health doing? You doing better?
I'm actually at this point doing good.
Good.
So I live every 3 months.
I really wish you the best in everything that you do. And anytime you want to call on us to try to get the word out or keep people updated on this issue, we are here for you, okay?
I appreciate that.
All right. Now, coming up next, a very good friend of mine who wants to remain anonymous. He will talk about his experiences volunteering next on Grape Encounters Radio as we talk about this outlandish story that broke about a week or so ago about a small winery that got hammered by the Labor Department because they use volunteers. Say it isn't so. Stay with me. It's Grape Encounters Radio. And again, many thanks to Bill Smythe and Ken Tatum for being on. Thanks, guys.
Well, David Wilson uncorks the next story. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Grape Encounters Radio. Grape Encounters continues. Visit our website at grapeencounters.com.
And we are back with Grape Encounters Radio. And, you know, I'm going to be doing something in this segment of the show that I've never actually had to do. I now have in the studio an anonymous guest. It's not because I'm joking around. It's because we really don't want his name to be out there because he's one of hundreds of thousands of people who break the law. That law is what we talked about in the last couple of segments, volunteering of your services to pick grapes for the love of wine. And so just going to introduce him as a friend. And what a shame we can't say your name.
Yeah, well,
this makes you nervous, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. You know, when you live in a certain area and people know who you are, you don't want to be part of any kind of controversy at that point.
So what do you think about this? First of all, tell me a little bit about your experience as a grape picking and winemaking volunteer. This is a big part of your life, right?
I always had a passion for wine. As soon as I could move to a wine country, wanted very much to learn about growing and learn about harvesting and learn about winemaking and fermenting and barrels and, you know, the full gestalt. I volunteered as soon as I possibly could with several wineries and still do that.
And how many volunteers were out there working beside you?
Usually you have a crew, a picking crew, and then you will probably have as many out there harvesting of volunteers as you have as a picking crew, because you have to pick the leaves out of the bins and the bad grapes. You come up with second crop that are sour. You have to throw those out. So you really have to know what you're doing. And the only way to do that is to actually do it.
And so the other people who you're working side by side with are just learning like you, right? Or just wanting to be a part of the winemaking process.
Or wine club members.
Okay, that's a very important point right there. An enormous number of wine clubs, and maybe than most, I don't know, will come out and participate in harvest or crush, or they might even foot stomp the grapes.
If you look at it, they're literally paying for the opportunity of harvesting and crushing.
So what do you think the state of the wine industry would be if they suddenly enforced across the board this idea of no volunteer labor?
Well, let's look at one thing. In most wine regions, most of the wineries are small little business people. To go out there and pay payroll taxes and to hire people and go through all the things that you have to do in order to be in business would put them out of business. They operate on such a small index anyway. It's terrible. And another thing is, when you sell a winery, a lot of the things that you're selling, yeah, you have a tasting room, but the experience of being at a winery is what you're selling. You're selling the whole experience. And so it is very easy to interest people in volunteering as well. And it's almost a perfect harmony.
I'm going to tell you what, that probably isn't a week that goes by that I don't hear somebody say, just because I'm around wine people all the time, I would love to just go out and pick grapes, or I would love to stomp the grapes, or I would love to be a part of the process. You know, people want to get intimate with wine, and it's a very unusual kind of a thing. You know, I can't think of many products where people want to be that intimate with the product, but wine, you know, has a whole emotional component to it. The more people have the opportunity to connect out in the vineyard, the more they appreciate the wine. How do you go about, first of all, volunteering?
Most small vineyards have a list of people, friends and acquaintances and people that you work with or you go to church with or whatever, and they call those people and say, hey, you want to come out and help?
Have you ever felt coerced into doing that?
Never. What a great opportunity. It's an honor to be out there. It's a great experience to be able to do that. And then you know the next time you drink a bottle of wine that, gee, this thing is actually a gift. This thing should cost $200 when you look
at the
amount of labor that goes into that thing. And most of the winemakers that I know, it is a labor of love.
Okay, so what happens now if they truly enforce this law?
Well, I really don't know the whole business aspect or the whole legal aspect, but I mean, there are a lot of parallels. Recently, big city people are members of, say, a farm co-op, farms produce. They know where their produce comes from. They don't have to worry about it having terrible chemicals or anything else that they put in the thing, in the produce. People join in with this farm and actually literally go out and harvest produce. They pay to harvest the produce. And that's kept a lot of farms from going under.
It's really interesting because I don't know how many times I've driven past a you pick 'em kind of a place where the sign says, you know, go out and pick your berries, pick your apples. I know, if I pick the apple off the tree, have I just put that apple grower in a compromised position?
Well, that's a good question. I mean most people who volunteer at a winery don't get paid anything. They might get a bottle an hour or something like that. So now we're
that's darn good pay.
Yeah, exactly. When you look at that, we're bartering services now. When did bartering services become illegal?
I don't know, but I think you have to disclose that. Let me ask you two questions. The first is, will you continue to volunteer? We're still, you know, kind of in the middle of harvest, sort of getting toward the end of it right now, knowing that the spotlight is on this issue of volunteering and that you potentially could be part of an enormous fine for the winemaker that you're volunteering for?
Well, that puts an awful lot on me.
I'm sorry, but
I'm going to continue volunteering because I like these people. It's kind of like in the old days when all the people in the town would get together and they'd put up a barn, okay? That's basically the same thing.
Yeah, you can't do that anymore.
Yeah, barn raising, when did that become illegal?
Yeah, dude, ranches are illegal now. You can't help with anything. You can't, you know what, unless it's a nonprofit, which, by the way, most wineries are.
Yeah, they end up
in a certain sort of sense, they are. Okay, so you're going to continue to volunteer. Do you think that you will give the winery owners at least a warning that, you know, they are now in a compromised position, or are you going to even bring it up?
I imagine that because of this one case, that's going to be a big problem.
I think they probably all already know.
They probably already know. I imagine that they're going to be a little more discreet about it.
My second question, though, are you willing to come with me to Washington and march on Washington about this issue?
I'm not sure that you need to go to Washington. I think that we just need the good media to make this known, and you can see how outrageous the idea of what they've done to this person is.
I've been talking all day about this crazy incident in California, and there are a few isolated ones, but for whatever reason, they single out one small winery. They decide to fine that winery over $100,000, potentially putting that winery out of business. You can't volunteer to pick grapes. Forget about it. So if you go visit a winery, they let you participate in the crush by stomping the grapes. Apparently, you're breaking the law. You can go to grapeencounters.com, click the link, and we're going to do everything in our power to do something about it. We have a strong voice. Let's use it. Thank my guest, who unfortunately I cannot identify. We'll identify you once we change the legislation, okay?
There we go.
We'll be back here next week. That's going to do it for Grape Encounters. Thanks to all my guests, and we'll see you here next time.